In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Dear faithful, today we celebrate the great feast of the octave day of Christmas, the eighth day, after his nativity on which Christ our Lord was circumcised according to the Mosaic law and received his name, Jesus, which is Hebrew for Savior. The Jewish practice of circumcision commanded by God to Abraham and enshrined in the law given to Moses on Mount Sinai was an old covenant foreshadowing or type of the sacrament of baptism of the new covenant. In Genesis chapter 17, as God is making his covenant with Abraham, he says to him, "All the male kind of you shall be circumcised, that it may be for a sign of the covenant between me and between you." This fleshly mark on the body was given as a symbol to distinguish the chosen people from the Gentiles that lived all round about them, and to remind them that they were to be a pure people, set aside for God and marked as belonging to him. In this circumcision foreshadowed the holy sacrament of baptism, which is the means by which we are incorporated into the new and eternal covenant established by Christ and sealed in his blood. St. Justin Martyr treats of this in his dialogue with Trypho, in which the second century Christian apologist defends Christianity as the fulfillment of the Old Testament prophecies and Jesus Christ as the Messiah. He writes, "And we who have approached God through Christ have received not carnal but spiritual circumcision, which Enoch and those like him observed. And we have received it through baptism, since we are worse sinners by God's mercy, and all men may equally obtain it." St. Paul tells us that it was not circumcision, but rather his faith by which Abraham was justified, and that his circumcision was rather the sign and the seal of that faith that he had in God's covenant with him. And in writing to the Galatians, who were converting to Christianity and wondering if they too should be circumcised according to the Mosaic law, the apostle says, "In Christ Jesus, neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision, but faith that worketh by charity." And that faith is given to us in the sacrament of baptism, by which we are born to new life in water and the Holy Ghost. That is the principal difference between the sacramentals and rituals of the old law and the sacraments of the new law. The sacramentals and rituals of the old law did not convey graces automatically, but only insofar as the recipient was well disposed to receive them. The sacraments of the new law achieve their effect infallibly, that is to say, as soon as the form is said over the matter, the sacrament instantaneously produces its effect. It is the power of Christ, the minister of the sacraments, that brings this about. Remember, Christ is the principal minister of every sacrament. When water is poured over the head of the infant or of the catechumen, and the words are said, the soul is washed in that instant from original sin, clothed with the robe of sanctifying grace, and made an adoptive child of God, a brother and sister of our Lord Jesus Christ. Dear faithful, I had the joy of receiving two adult converts into the Holy Catholic Church this Advent, actually in this very church, conferring upon them as well the Holy Sacrament of Confirmation. One thing that struck me in the catechism classes and discussions that we had leading up to their entrance into the church was the zeal and the intention with which both converts sought to grow both in the knowledge of their faith and in their implementation of Catholic practices into their lives. It had the effect of pushing me to examine my own life and see just how faithful I have been to my baptismal and ordination promises. For baptism is a gift, yes, an undeniable bequest of God's goodness, but it also conveys obligations. For example, a baptized Catholic is obliged to not only follow the Ten Commandments, but also the commandments and precepts and discipline of the Church, including the law of the Church regarding marriage and receiving the sacraments of confession and Holy Eucharist once a year, the second around Easter time. In the epistle of today's Mass, which is also the epistle for the second Mass of Christmas Day, St. Paul writes of this very obligation to his disciple, St. Titus, who he had appointed Bishop of Crete. In the preceding verses of chapter 2, from which this epistle is taken, St. Paul writes, "But speak thou the things that become sound doctrine, that the aged men be sober, chaste, prudent, sound in faith, in love, in patience. The aged women in like manner, in holy attire, not false accusers, not given to do too much wine, teaching well, that they may teach the young women to be wise, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, sober, having a care of the house, gentle, obedient to their husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Young men, in like manner, exhort that they be sober. In all things, show thyself an example of good works in doctrine, in integrity, in gravity, the sound word that cannot be blamed, that he who is on the contrary part may be afraid, having no evil to say of us. Exhort servants to be obedient to their masters in all things, pleasing, not gainsaying, not defrauding, but in all things showing good fidelity, that they may adorn the doctrine of God our Savior in all things." And this is where today's epistle begins. And St. Paul continues, "For the grace of God our Savior has appeared to all men, instructing us that denying ungodliness and worldly desires, we should live soberly and justly and godly in this world, looking for the blessed hope and the coming of the glory of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ." Dear faithful, at the beginning of this new year, 2023, let each of us examine ourselves on these points. And not just now, as you sit here in church listening to this sermon, but when we go out from this holy place and back to our homes and to the world where we spend the majority of our lives. What in our lives, in our thoughts, words, actions, relations with others, desires, attachments of soul, is not able to be reconciled with our exalted state as Christians, as sons and daughters of God? Perhaps there's a near occasion of sin that we are not courageous enough to cut off. Perhaps there is an undue attachment to things of this world, to the pleasures of the senses in impurity, in gluttony, drunkenness. Perhaps there is an undue attachment to the possessions of this world or a vain desire for the adulation and admiration of others. Perhaps there's a slothfulness in our spiritual duties, a neglect of practicing true Christian piety and passing it on to our children, putting activities ahead of the daily family rosary. As we enter into this new year of grace, and having examined ourselves honestly on these points, let us make the resolution to live this year as more truly Catholic children of God. Not with one foot in the camp of worldliness and sinfulness, but rather with both feet firmly planted in the camp of our Savior Jesus Christ. Let us remember what Pope St. Leo the Great instructs us in his sermon for the Feast of our Lord's Nativity. "Beloved," he says, "let us give thanks to God the Father through his Son in the Holy Spirit, because in his great love for us he took pity on us, and when we were dead in our sins he brought us to life with Christ, so that in him we might be a new creation. Let us throw off the old nature and all its ways. As we have come to birth in Christ, let us renounce the works of the flesh. Christian, remember your dignity. And now that you share in God's own nature, do not return by sin to your former base condition. Bear in mind who is your head and of whose body you are a member. Do not forget that you have been rescued from the power of darkness and brought into the light of God's kingdom. Through the sacrament of baptism, you have become a temple of the Holy Spirit. Do not drive away so great a guest by evil conduct and become again a slave to the devil, for your liberty was bought by the blood of Christ. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen."